Morning, everyone. It's really good to be here this morning. What great weather, isn't it? You can't complain, you know. You can't complain whether it's too hot, too cold, because the weather's just wonderful. Autumn's a really wonderful time of the year, and I think you really see God's creation at work there. You see the trees start to drop their leaves, animal life. It's all preparation for... It's like a storing, getting prepared for a winter, a cold time, a hard time. And just like we've had a break over Easter, you know, you should use that in our own lives. You know, we're storing. That gives us the Easter break, has given us a chance to come back refreshed and alive and ready to go into another term and to put into the things of God. But it's just great to see the way God gives us the seasons. And the Word of God speaks about seasons quite a lot, and especially in the book of Ecclesiastes, how, you know, there's seasons for this, there's seasons for that. And so we enjoy those times, don't we? But God so planned it that he gave us, you know, summer, winter, autumn, spring, all those times of the year, and they're all really, really great times. And it's just a wonderful way that God has made it. So we get a bit of everything, don't we? And we're able to enjoy everything that God's given us. And I just trust that, you know, we use God's principles, that the things that he puts before us, the things he shows us, that we can use them in our own lives, amen? So all the kids going back to school tomorrow, yeah? Yeah. Good. Some happy parents. it's good. But like I said, God gives us that time that we can get refreshed, don't we? And so we just need to do that. And so this morning, I just want to continue a little bit on from the Easter season. We've enjoyed a wonderful time. We've celebrated the death and resurrection of Christ, and we're able to sing "The Lord is Risen," amen? So it is a good time, and we have that renewed hope. And as we will see this morning through my message, I just want to talk about the walk to on the Emmaus Road. It seems to be a favourite subject after the Easter. Easter comes, we just don't want to leave it there, because Christ himself didn't leave it there. There was more to come, amen? There was more. And so we see in the book of Luke there the account of two of Jesus' followers, two of his disciples there, just walking back down the road to the Emmaus. And I think it's a rather a delightful account of these two disciples returning to their home to Galilee after the events of what had happened in Jerusalem during those preceding few days. And as we see in the book of Luke and this account there, that as they travel along, you know, that they were blessed with good company, weren't they? Or you might say a good travelling companion in in the presence of Jesus, whose identity, you know, they were totally oblivious to. They just didn't realise. But as we'll see, we'll take up this account of the walk to Emmaus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and reading from verse 13. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stopped short, sadness written on their faces or across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days. And so we see there that there, and our brother, Elder Lewis mentioned this morning how Jesus comes into our lives at the right time. Amen. And we can see here that these two followers of Jesus were walking down the... They were pretty downcast. They were pretty perplexed about what had all happened and probably just didn't understand why all this happened. Here was the Saviour, the Messiah to the world, the Redeemer of Israel, had come and to bring this new... usher in this new way, a new living thing... knew the gospel of Jesus come, and all of a sudden he was taken away. And they were just coming to grips with all that. And they were quite saddened. They were discouraged and probably even disillusioned about what had happened to their friend Jesus. And so we read last week about the Saviour risen, if we read in verse 11, it says, you know, there were doubters about the Christ's resurrection. And in verse 11, go back to verse 11. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the disciples what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. And so there was that confusion in the minds of these two people walking along, two of Jesus' followers. But as it said, they did not believe the women, and because their words seemed like nonsense. And so we see, and with these two, it just seems that they left the company of the other followers and disciples of Christ back in Jerusalem, and obviously they just took off back down the road to Emmaus without letting anyone know of their tensions. But as they were trudging along, walking along, they were talking and discussing all the things that had happened. And what happened suddenly... Jesus appears right beside them there. And we see there how that happened. First, and as they talk and discuss these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. And it says, but God kept them from recognizing him. How often does that happen in our lives? That we're going somewhere, we're doing something. And there, all of a sudden, you know, you might be experiencing many things. And, you know, you know the presence of God is there, but you don't recognise it, do we? Often we just don't recognise when Christ is there. When we hear that voice speak to us, we often say, oh, it's your conscience, but... you know, it's the Spirit of God within us just reminding us, and God saying, Jesus say, hey, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm walking with you. And we often walk many places, do things, and we just don't recognise that God's going with us every step of the way, do we? So we just need to be mindful of that. And so as the disciples walked along there, you know, they were talking about these things. They were trying to get it all together about what had happened to it. And it was probably a good thing for them to do, to talk about and just to reason with themselves and about the probability of Christ's resurrection, and just to refresh their memory and to stir up that devout affection that they had for Jesus. And that's something that we need to do, don't we? Because we often get a bit slack, don't we? And we need to stir up our hearts, stir up our spirits, and to do that. Stir up that affection, our love for Jesus. And we just need to always to be reminding ourselves, reminding each other of the reason why Christ died for us all. He died for each and every one of us. that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And we, the above all, the promise of eternal life. And so the challenge is for us to stir up the spirit that is within us, isn't it? Here we see that Jesus walking alongside the disciples, and I'm sure the disciples they were hoping that what the women had said, that they ate, that Christ is risen, Jesus is risen. And I'm sure they were probably saying, oh, gee, I hope this is true. I hope it's true. But they were going along and they were trying to reason all this out, and how Jesus had risen again, and that he'd come and set up his kingdom there. But as Jesus came along, their faces said it all, because when Jesus asked, what are you discussing? That the scripture says they stood still and their faces downcast. They were probably trudging along and kicking dust, kicking stones, whatever, and just talking to one another, going along. Why did this happen? Jesus was with us. He was our friend. He was always there. He was doing good things. But now he's gone. What are we going to do? And so they were probably, you know, at a loss, weren't they? But here we see that this person was walking alongside them who they didn't recognise. They weren't just aware of it. But Jesus, as we know, he was always to the front, and he wanted to be a part of their conversation. And straight away, he engaged in conversation with them. And as I just said, the disciples had always depended on the bodily presence of Christ. He was always with them. And now that they were on their own, walking down the road, feeling pretty lonely, and along comes Jesus at the very right time. And that so often happens in our life. That very moment that we need Christ, he steps in. Amen? And I'm sure many of you could testify today if I ask you that Jesus Christ came into your life at the very right time, at that point of time when you needed him most. But here we see that Christ is here to console them. He's here to comfort them in their time of need when they were questioned, you know, the very fibre of their belief. You know, they probably had a lot of doubt in their mind. You know, was this all real? Was he the real Messiah? But Jesus, he was there with them, but he had the advantage because he knew them and they didn't know him at that particular time. And so the discussion was between Jesus and them, and Jesus started to question them concerning their present sadness. And I asked this morning, how often do we walk alongside someone? How often do we walk alongside someone? Are we prepared to just spend that time to walk alongside someone, to encourage them, to help them, to cheer them up, so to speak? And how often do we fail even to acknowledge the presence or someone's presence, let alone even take that time to talk to them? We fail a lot in that area, don't we? Many times we do. And that's something we all need to improve on, about our relationships with one another, encouraging one another. When you know someone's going through a hard time, spend that little bit of time with them. Be interested in what's happening. Be like Jesus. Jesus noted their saddened state, and he immediately sets about gladdening their hearts. We want to bring joy into people's lives, amen? We want to be able to do that. And they were sad, and it appeared to Jesus, the stranger, that this was the case. And as we mentioned before, they had lost their beloved master, Jesus, and in their own, now they were in their own apprehensions, they were quite disappointed in their expectations of him. They had given up, and they just didn't know how quite know how to retrieve it. Even though Christ had risen from the dead, yet either they did not know it or they did not believe it. And so they were still in that sorrowful. They were sorrowful. And have you ever noticed that some of the saddest words with the letter D start with the letter D, don't they? You ever notice that? But I've only sort of come to me like that when I started looking at these things. And for example, D for disappointment, D for doubt, D for disillusionment, D for defeat, D for despair, D for death. But as we see here, all these words, all those words, they all summed up how this Cleopas and his companion were feeling. And again, how often do we allow trials and afflictions and problems to overcome us? These men were overcome with grief and the affliction, the problem that had come upon them. And they just, I'm sure that we understand they had great reason to feel like this, but how often do we let things like that in our life, you know, overcome us, you know, trivial things sometimes. We just let them consume us, don't we? But, and again I ask, how often do we let Christ walk alongside us? He wants to walk us every step of the way. Often we don't want to walk with him. We can say, I'll leave you there and I'm going my way. But we need to realise that Jesus is willing to walk with us every step of the way. And so, even though we know he is there, we just fail to let him in at times, don't we? We know Christ is there, but we don't say, yes, Jesus, come and walk with me. Put my arm around your shoulder. I'll walk with you. I'll let you discuss these things with me. And you'll listen to me as I pour out. We don't do that. Even though we know he's there, we just fail to let him in. We put up that barrier. There's a hardness comes in and we don't let Christ in. The word of God tells us that he is always there, amen? That he is always there. Christ the unseen stranger, always walking with us, always. As the word says, he says, lo, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That should be promise enough in our lives, that we know God is with us every step of the way, that we are never alone. We should never have to struggle through things and situations that are promised. We should have take that to heart and have that confidence to say, yeah, God is there. I don't understand what's going on. I'm not happy in this situation, but I know God is there and something good's going to happen. God's going to teach me something. I will learn something here or something. So we just need to see that. But here we see that Jesus coming in at the right time, and we just see how the compassion, the heart of Christ, just wanting to comfort his disciples, comfort his friends there, and he was just tending to them and being concerned for their comfort. And I feel there that what this... this walk down to the road to Emmaus with that Jesus has taught us to be conversable, you know, to speak. And Jesus wasn't afraid to speak, even though these two people, Cleopas and his friend, followers of Jesus, you know, even though they didn't recognise him, he just appeared to be a stranger. But he fell into conversation with them. And these two people, they could have said, oh, get lost. We've got troubles of our own. You know, we've got things in our mind, you know, and we don't want to be bothered by your questions. They could have said that, but they didn't. But they done what we would expect from any Christ-believing person. You know, they embraced a stranger. How often do we fail to do that? Embrace a stranger. If we meet a stranger, we have every opportunity to proclaim Jesus Christ to that person, don't we? We have that opportunity. So we should always embrace a stranger. And I think the second thing we can learn from that text there that Jesus taught us to be compassion. You know, when we see our friends in sorrow and sadness, you know, we should be like Christ, shouldn't we? We should take notice of their grief and their situations, and we should be prepared to give them the best counsel and the comfort and that we can. And as the scripture says, weep with them that weep. We need to offer comfort, don't we? And so as we read in this account of the disciples walked to Emmaus, they enjoyed the company of the stranger who had taken, who had asked questions regarding their sadness. And and as Jesus asked these questions, we see there how these two followers, they put the question to Jesus, and they said to him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem?" Because they said it would be only a stranger who had not heard. And Cleopatra, he gave Jesus a civil answer there when Jesus asked about their sadness. And he said, you know, they were saying, "Well, haven't you heard what's going on? This is why we're so sad." But, you know, they weren't being rude or anything saying that. You know, "Well, haven't you heard what's going on? What's wrong with you? Haven't you heard all about this?" But Jesus, as we know, he was compassionate and caring. And they said, "Aren't you such a stranger that you don't know what they've done to our master?" And again, the teaching there is, you know, we are to treat others with respect. And this is what these two were doing. They were treating a stranger with respect and that. And just a bit of a thing there. Imagine if you're walking up the street this morning coming to church and, you know, you couldn't find your way and someone was going by and you said, "Hey, mate, can you help me? I'm lost. I want to know, can't find my way where I want to go." And they said, and that person said, "I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry. Don't bother me. I haven't got time." And you come on your own way to church and you get into church and everything's good. Time of welcome comes and you turn around and who's the first person you meet? It was that person down the street who you ask, "Can you give me the directions where to go?" How embarrassing would that be? So you see how we're to entertain strangers. See how Jesus embraced the strangers. See how they related to him. That's the type of people that we need to be. And so that, but there, it's so easy to blow our witness, isn't it? And when we're not being the people that Christ wants us to be. But if the disciples had said, "Go away, don't bother me," they would have missed out something bad, wouldn't they? They would have missed out something bad because and it's the same for us. We just never know, you know, who that person might be. And, you know, that could be someone desperately wanting God in their life, desperately wanting a Saviour, Jesus Christ in their life. And we've said, "Oh, don't bother me. Go away," you know. And we can't be like that. We have to entertain the strangers and to do that. And and so in verse 18, they began to question Jesus. And as I said before, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened there in the last few things." And Jesus says, "What things? What things?" And they immediately reply, "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth." They said he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and to all people. But our leaders and priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel, and this all happened 3 days ago. So we see there, they gave that account. But Jesus says, "What things? what things. And again, I ask, do you think Christ would have been suffering as they ask all these questions? But all Jesus' reply was, what things? And we see in verse 25, then Jesus said, that you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering to his glory? And so we see here that Christ, his own sorrow was forgotten. He suffered bitter and heavy things, didn't he? We know that. And yet his only concern at this present time was to bring comfort to those two disciples, to bring comfort to those two people who were in need. And again, I emphasise that we have to bring comfort to others, to those who are in trouble, to those who weep, to those who mourn, and to know that, to do that. But Jesus' only concern was to bring comfort to his disciples. And we need to be like Jesus. And we know from John 13 where the word encourages is there about not letting our hearts be in trouble. And all Jesus asks, he said, trust in God and trust in me. And we just need to put that into practice, don't we, in times of need, when in like that. And we know as these disciples walked along with Jesus there, and we see in verse 27, it says there that Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets from all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. They got a first-hand, first-class resume of the whole scripture from A to B, from the beginning to end as they walked along that road. The whole purpose of why Christ would have to suffer. And so we see there that by the time they were nearing nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey, Jesus acted if they were going on. But they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. So he went home with them, and as he sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to. Suddenly, it says here, their eyes were open and they recognized the Christ. We need to recognise the Christ, amen? In times of need, when we think we're just walking alone, we need to recognise Christ and to be that. As it says here, their eyes were opened. How many people today that need their eyes open, need their eyes open to see the Christ, see Jesus and invite him in? Then they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn? You like that bit? Didn't our hearts burn? Our hearts should be burning all the time. We know the scriptures, amen. We've been given this precious word of God. And so it should always be in our hearts. We should always have that spirit within inside us and the zeal and zealousness and ready to declare the goodness of God. One thing that really stands out, anyone tell me what was the one real good thing, what happened with these disciples when they were speaking to Jesus? What did they do? Tell me. Come on. What things Jesus asked? The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They said he was a prophet who did powerful miracles and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and to all people. What were these two fellas doing? Testifying, weren't they? Testifying. They had a testimony to tell about a saviour. And they didn't want this stranger to be ignorant of not knowing this person, Jesus Christ. I think we sort of get the picture there. Again, the importance of testifying to strangers, to people who don't know Jesus Christ. And this man, it says, they didn't know this was Jesus. It wasn't revealed to them. But straight away, even in the midst of their sorrow, they started to testify the goodness of this person, Jesus Christ. They were ready and they were willing to testify in the midst of their circumstances, in the midst of their sorrow. They were ready to declare, hey, this man Jesus, he was a good man and he was a prophet. He done mighty miracles and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and to all people. But they crucified him. But as we see, I'm coming to a close, but it's all about trusting in God and our trusting him. And, you know, just to be like those two people and to be able to say our hearts felt good when we're talking with Christ. Our hearts need to be good when we're communicating with the Lord, when we're in prayer, when we're just spending that time. Our hearts need to feel good, don't they? And to burn with that. But I believe, you know, the Emmaus Road was all a part of the foreordained purpose and the plans of God, you know, that Jesus would come and walk with these people to give them hope, to give them confidence, to encourage them in their time of need. But again, we just see that the best was yet to come. The best was yet to come, because what did Jesus tell the disciples to do? He told them to wait and tarry in the city until you're enclosed with power from where? On high. Amen. And that was the thing that I suppose were part of why all the most of the disciples, they all hung around Jerusalem, but these were followers of Christ. They were going back home, whatever. But Jesus, he told these people to tarry and to wait. He told the disciples that later on. But as Christ revealed himself, he said, go and wait in the city until you become clothed in from power from on high. But as we see, you know, this walk to Emmaus, the walk started out as a sad, trudging stroll along the road. You know, they probably weren't in a hurry to get back home because of the heaviness was put upon them. But now, as Jesus spoke, and he said, go and wait in the city and be clothed from power on high. And also how Christ Jesus had revealed himself to them. They were now encouraged. And it says there, here, that that within the hour, they were back on their road back into Jerusalem. And they're hurrying back to meet the other disciples and wait upon this strength that was going to come from the high. It was a discouraging walk. It had now become a joyous run back to Jerusalem within hope. Then they run back with renewed strength, that they were found power from on high. They were encouraged and that. And again, just to encourage us as these two the followers, two disciples of Christ, they were encouraged in there. And as we look in Isaiah's scripture, Isaiah's words in chapter 40 and verse 30 there, where it says, should know it off by heart, even youth will become weak and tired and young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Amen. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that's what needs to be, we need to be like that. As we are renewed with hope and we're encouraged by the things of God, of God, Jesus walking with us every step of the way. And this morning, the invitation is, as the disciples experience, if you want Jesus to dwell in your house, if you want Jesus to dwell in this body, in this earthly body, in your life, then invite him in and he will abide with you. As Elder Lewis shared this morning, And he gave that invitation also, you know, knock, 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 and Christ will answer. He will open the door. He will open the door and let us in. And the invitation again this morning is, if there's any person here this morning, if you have that need for Jesus in your life, well, come forward for prayer this morning. And I just thank you again this morning for allowing me to share, you know, this word of God. But I just trust and pray, Lord God, Father, Lord, we just thank you that you are the risen Lord and you are prepared to walk with us every step of the way. You'll come alongside us and you'll talk with us. You will walk with us. You will encourage us. You will give us hope. So, Lord, as we come alongside you, as we just take that bold step and say, yes, come into my life, Jesus. I need you now. I need you this day. So, Father, Lord, we just thank you again for our fellowship, our praise, our worship, our coming together this day, Lord. Lord, that you have been with us and you are our hope. You are that source. You are that strength, Lord. And we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.